Did Jesus ever laugh? Do you know where the scripture is? And Jesus threw back his head and laughed heartily. No one knows where it is. I'm not surprised, because I don't know either. I wish it were in there. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even say Jesus smiled. So we might suppose that he did not. You know, maybe another question would be, do Christians ever laugh? Of course we do. The question I'd like to find out now is if this congregation will laugh this morning. And I'm going to stick my neck out. It's always dangerous. You just never know. This story was told to demonstrate what paradigm paralysis is. Do you know what paradigm paralysis means? I haven't the foggiest idea, even after I heard the story. First of all, I always thought it was pronounced paradigm. It was about a man who had two prized possessions. He was a professional man. He worked hard. But every weekend, he had a cabin in the mountains, and he loved to go there. And in order to get there, he used his second most prized possession, a high-powered sports car that was just the perfect vehicle to take him up that winding road to his mountain cabin. This particular weekend, he was on his way to the cabin, and he was winding up his way and enjoying his fine sports car as he weaved around the turns, and finally he came to the most difficult hairpin, most dangerous curve on the whole mountain, to which he had to come almost to a dead stop. Fortunately, for coming around the corner, completely out of control, was another car careening back and forth from one side of the road to the other, and he was sure that he was going to be hit. But just as the car came to him and got over on the other side and flashed by him, the woman yelled out the window, "Pig!" And he yelled back, "Sow!" And he sat there, just shaking a bit after it was all over, and he thought, the nerve of that woman. I was the one who was perfectly still. She was the one who was out of control, and she had the nerve to call me a pig. Well, he thought, well, anyhow, I got off a pretty good one and called her a sow. So he put the car back into gear, roared around the curve, and ran smack into the pig. I don't know what paradigm paralysis is, but I'll tell you what that story's all about. If we're thinking in a particular frame of reference, it's pretty hard to think any other way. And if people get the idea that Jesus was a sober, humorless individual, it's going to reflect the whole way they think about life and about Jesus and about themselves. That may be what paradigm paralysis is, but I'm not sure. Probably shouldn't tell this joke. This is why my wife Jan doesn't like to let me go out by myself. It's about the kindly farmer whose cow loved him so much because on a cold morning he would always warm his hands well before he went out to milk her. But she paid his kindness back one morning when he went into the barn and he was obviously worn out from a hard night before, and the cow said, "Why don't you just hang on and I'll jump up and down?" Good, I'm relieved I got a few laughs. I'll tell Jan. Now maybe you're not laughing. Some of you might be quite uncomfortable with laughing. The musical Godspell came out quite a few years now, though it's had some revivals. But a lot of Christians weren't crazy about it, and I have an idea that the reason is that it started out with Jesus dancing and jumping around and looking quite happy, and some Christians just can't imagine that Jesus could be that way. And I suppose it's partly because of the Bible. The disciples didn't seem to see anything funny about Jesus, and years later, when they wrote about him, they didn't seem to see anything funny about him. Maybe it's because that when the New Testament was written, it was written in a period of time when the church was being roundly persecuted, and maybe nothing was funny in those days. And then the artists, especially those medieval artists that made Jesus' face so long and skinny and so extended looking. I was glad to see that Pete put the drawing of Willis Wheatley's Laughing Jesus on the front of your bulletin this morning. I first saw that some years ago, and it really struck me, and it's fascinated me that other people have mentioned it to me, because it's the only drawing like that I know. And it's reasoned. For most of my life, I never saw any kind of likeness of our Lord with even a smiling expression. But in that laughing Jesus, Jesus has thrown his head back and laughs heartily. Well, did Jesus laugh? There's certainly no word in the scripture that indicated he would. But I have a couple of reasons for being absolutely certain that he did. First of all, anger's hard on you. It is. Anger's very destructive. You stay angry all the time, you're going to be sick. It's going to take its toll on you. On the other hand, you've always heard, and it's true, that little Department of Reader's Digest, laughter's the best medicine. It's absolutely true. My father's doctor told him, I want you to laugh heartily at least 7 times a day. So every once in a while we rent a Pink Panther movie or watch Home Alone together. But we do need to laugh, and it is good medicine. That's the way God made us. As a matter of fact, I was preaching on this one time, and a man said to me, did you ever find a passage of Scripture where it says, God laughed? And I didn't find it. And then he showed it to me. It's in the last book of the Bible. And it said, God rejoices over us with loud singing. That's a marvelous passage of Scripture. Something youthful about that. Our daughter Elise was home not too long ago on a break, and I was in the shower in the master bedroom, and I had the bathroom door shut and the bedroom door shut, and I was singing Jubilate Deo, and I have to confess I was pretty much singing it at the top of my voice. But what was probably too much was that I was singing it as a round, all by myself, and singing the different parts in different voices, and then I heard Elise calling, Dad! Dad! And then I heard Elise and Jan out in the bedroom just laughing and laughing. They said they had never heard anything quite like it before. But I sing when I'm happy. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. People sing when they're happy. And whenever the prophet said that God rejoices over us with loud singing, that warmed my heart. We should know that God loves that sort of thing. I've always enjoyed children, and they usually take to me. I rarely find a child that I can't get along with. Now, some take a little longer than others. I think it's the same reason we like kittens and puppies and colts. They just seem to have such an exuberance for living, don't they? Colts just bound around the field. Where are they going? No place. They're just running. I saw a squirrel the other day run across the road. I never saw a squirrel run like this before. Just run for about 3 seconds, and then jumped real high and ran some more. The only thing I could figure out was it was showing off. God is a joyful God. In the Gospel of John, the word joy is used over and over again. Jesus says, I want you to love one another. I want you to love one another the way I love you, the way God loves me. That's how I want you to love one another. Why? To make your life tough? No. So that your joy may be full. That's what he said. It's in the Gospel of John all the time. So this is God. I mean, there's no question that Jesus laughed. The only question is why the evangelist didn't tell us about it. And by the way, children love Jesus. You know that because they were always coming and Jesus was picking them up, and the old fogies, disciples, said, "Tell the children to get away. Jesus has more important work to do." And Jesus said, "What are you talking about? Don't you ever keep these children from coming to me. They're what you all ought to be if you expect to get into the kingdom of heaven." That's a rather loose translation, but I think that's pretty much the idea. Children loved him. I'll tell you something else. Maybe it's little, but I like it. I know a fellow, just the greatest guy. He has all kinds of imagination, and he gives everybody nicknames. He gave me a nickname. I'm not going to tell you what it was. It's not a bad name, but it's not something I want to be called. Do you know people who give nicknames? They're always special people, aren't they? Funny, outgoing people. Jesus had two young disciples. I don't know how young they are, but they might very well have been teenagers, James and John. And James and John were loud young men. And you know what Jesus did one time? He looked at them and said, "You guys are the sons of thunder." And that's what he called them, sons of thunder. Isn't that a neat insight into Jesus? Isn't it? You think when he said that, he didn't have a smile on his face? Of course he had a smile on his face. Now, did you wonder if I might get to the scripture? It's a sad story. A man came up to Jesus, and he's a likable person. I mean, he's a backslapper. He comes up to Jesus, and he said to him, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" J.B. Phillips translates this, "My good man, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, that's a kind of backslapping political person who says something like this. And Jesus caught him up short and said, "Now you just go around calling everybody good, don't you? And you don't know what you're talking about. Keep the commandments?" And whenever the young man heard this, I think he probably smiled, and he could have told him, but he wanted to drag this out. He said, "Any particular ones?" He knew he kept them all. Jesus humored him, and he named a few of them, and the man said, "I've kept every one of these since I was just a child." Jesus said, "Well, you still lack one thing." And the man, still smiling, said, "Well, okay, what little thing? I just had this idea that maybe I was missing something. Just what little thing, what minor adjustment would you like me to make in my life?" And then Jesus dropped a bomb. "Well," he said, "sell everything you have and give it away and come and follow me." And the smile went. It's tragic. A man who was struggling with alcohol used to say to me, "I wish Billy Graham would come to town." I said, "Well, any particular reason?" "Yeah, I'd be saved." I said, "Well, Billy Graham would be the first one to tell you, you don't need him to be saved." And he says, "Well," he says, "I believe he did come, I'd be saved." Now here's a young man who met God himself and walked away. And I told you, that's a very sad scripture. And Jesus must have been greatly saddened, because the scripture says he loved this young man, and seeing him hang his head and walk away must have broken Jesus' heart. That's why it's so amazing what Jesus said next. "Ah," he said, "I tell you, it's harder for a rich person to get into the kingdom of heaven. Why, It'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, you didn't laugh. And the disciples didn't laugh. Now, somebody's going to say, well, the eye of a needle was a gate and a wall that a camel... That's a beautiful illustration, but I hardly think that's what Jesus was talking about. He was just simply drawing one of those ridiculous hyperboles that Jesus did all the time. Like the mother who said to her child, I've told you a million times not to exaggerate. And this is a ridiculous picture, and he said it when his heart was breaking. Don't we sometimes laugh at the saddest times? We do that to survive. Sometimes in the midst of great tragedy, we see the greatest humor. A woman I know who's just a marvelous woman, she has cancer. She's had it for a long time, and she says that by everything science knows, she'd have been dead a long time ago. But she's healthy. And she goes on bike-a-thons and all kinds of things, even though she has this condition. She was telling me some of the things she wrote about when she first got it, and she knew she was pretty sick. She was keeping a diary. And this is what she wrote when they were taking the test to determine what was wrong with her before she knew it was cancer. She said she prayed to God, "Oh dear Lord, don't let it be diabetes." And God said, okay. That's a pretty good sense of humor, isn't it? Not diabetes. How about cancer? And I think that's why Doris is going today and why she's an inspiration to all of us, because of this marvelous sense of humor. And whenever Jesus said, ah, rich person, it's harder to get into the kingdom of God. I'd rather try to get a camel through the eye of a needle. And the dumb disciples said, oh my goodness, then who can be saved? And Jesus must have laughed and said, ease up, guys. I know it sounds impossible, but God can do anything. And there were some other ones. I like the one where Jesus called Herod a sly fox. You think he didn't smile a little bit when he called him that? Or how about when he was talking about the Pharisees? He said, you Pharisees, you get something to drink, and you look in there, and you see a gnat, and you strain it out. You don't want to swallow a gnat. And then he says, you swallow a camel. Now, do you think Jesus said that without some kind of smile? And I have an idea if the evangelist would have told us, everybody laughed when Jesus said that. I was illustrating a children's story one time, and I was talking about a speck in a person's eye. This is another one of Jesus' marvelous hyperboles. He said, you see a brother there, and you say, hey, hold on there a minute. You've got a speck there in your eye. He said, let me see if I can get out that speck. He says, all along, sticking out of your own eye, is a log from a barn. I tried to illustrate this for the children one day, so I got a big piece of wood. And I said, now, I want to take a speck out of your eye. And I had this big piece of wood up against my own eye. I got a splinter in there. And I was in a great deal of pain, which was a lot funnier to the children than the illustration. But Jesus did not say these things without a sense of humor. Another thing Jesus did, which I think we entirely miss, is that the stories he told have tremendous shock value. A shock value which caught people completely off guard, and he did it because it was a part of his whole sense of humor. I'll give you an example that I think will surprise you. The story of the Good Samaritan. You know this story. There was a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, which indicated he was probably a Jew. And he was set upon by thieves who robbed him and stripped him and beat him and left him for dead. And the people listening to Jesus would say, yes, it's a dangerous road. It happens all the time. And by, a priest came that way And he looked at the man, shook his head, and walked clear across the road so as not to be contaminated. And the people go, oh yeah, oh sure. The priest wouldn't touch a man if he was dead. They couldn't carry out their duties. Good story. Preach on. Jesus said, then next, there came a Levite. He looked at the man, apparently felt sorry for him, gave him a wide berth, and passed by on the other side. And the people go, oh yeah, that's right. That's what they would do. Poor man. Then he said, along came a Samaritan. They said, ooh, a Samaritan. Now he's in for it. A Samaritan, those wicked, hateful enemies of ours. He's found this man. This Samaritan will finish him off. He's in real trouble now. Jesus said the Samaritan came and got down off his donkey. Then what'd he do? Well, then he poured oil on his wounds and bound them up, put the man on his donkey, took him to an inn, risked his own life. You mean he's going to walk in that dangerous valley while this Jew rides on his donkey? Yeah, Jesus said, that's what he did. And he took him to an inn. And he said to the Jewish innkeeper, I've got one of your own people here. So surely he would say, so you take care of him. Oh no, he said, I'm going to give you some money for him. Take care of him. And then I'm going to come back this way. And if this isn't enough, let me know and I'll give you some more. That hit those people like a ton of bricks. Jesus had this keen sense of humor that not only amused people, but hit them right exactly where they lived. I wanted to tell you about Jesus' sense of humor this morning. I wanted you to know that this whole idea that I think we have, that Jesus was so sober and so unsmiling, is totally wrong. Children were attracted to Jesus because of his joyful, laughing ways. And I just thought that maybe some of you out there have been turned off by comparing Jesus to a parent that's too stern, or to a teacher who only understood discipline and not love, or to some boss who likes to wield authority. And you didn't see Jesus the way he really is. A person who wants you to know joy. A person that children loved. A person who gave his two young disciples a fascinating nickname. And a person who knows you well enough to give you a nickname that fits. And a person who loves you enough to make fun of you and shock you by his laugh. I want you to see Jesus laugh, throw back his head, and laugh heartily when we take ourselves too seriously, and to smile whenever we have lost ours, and to always throw his arms around us and remind us that we belong to him. Could you love a Jesus who knew how to laugh? Could you not? Amen.